I got a couple of things here that God was giving to me as we were taking the offering. And I just want to share this morning. I don't necessarily have a message. I just want to put some thoughts out there. Amen. I'm going to start with Romans 13, verse 11. And this will kind of tie in with Memorial Day. You know, it's not just our soldiers and our forefathers who have gone to war and given their lives, but God has ordained authority in this earth. And for those who follow Him, they operate in true authority. We know that there's corruption in our government, or what is called our government, but because they don't operate by the government of God, you know, while we are told to give honor to whom honor is due, that doesn't mean we follow corruptible or corrupted authority. If God's not the head of what they're doing, and I'll let you be the judge of who you think that is, then we don't owe them any honor. Because we are who we are, though, in Christ, we're required to give respect according to what God says and according to what God shows us. Amen? And so I want to read this first, and then I want to go over to, and we'll read from verse 1 through probably verse, as far as God tells us to go. Anyway, Romans 13, verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I was taken and captivated by the first couple of verses. It says, and do this. It sounds pretty much like a command, doesn't it? Knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Complacency in sleep, this is not the time for it. We need to shake that off. We need to shake off the slumber and the sleep, and we need to understand exactly where we're at in history. We don't know the day or time when He's going to come, but we see by the signs that something's brewing. So we need to wake up. We need to be sober and be vigilant, like the Word says. High time to wake out of sleep. For now, right now, the point is, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. How many can say amen to that? The night is far spent. In other words, we're in basically what some people might say a nighttime atmosphere. Darkness all around us. But God's on the move. And those who are listening and who are in tune with Him, He's desiring to use, and He will use mightily. Let me tell you what happened to me here a night or two ago. I was out in front of the theater, the Belmar Center, and a couple walked up to me. And they had left their keys in the car. And for some reason, the lights, normally the warning indicator, the noisemaker comes on and says, you left your lights on, but it didn't do that this night. So when they went out there, the battery was dead. Now, they had an extra set of keys, but the problem is you couldn't get in the car because the battery was dead. And of course, the reason they left their keys in the car, or the way they explained it to me, is because they've got one of those punch button things, but with no power, your punch button locks or your, you know, combination lock won't open the car. We began to talk, and the Holy Spirit told me exactly who they were. And I began to talk to them. And here it is, the young lady's dad is a preacher. They're Christians. They're from Oregon. He's here to become a gunsmith, going to school to become a gunsmith. Wonderful couple. Wonderful couple. And I just, I mean, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God rose up in me, and I began to minister to them right there in front of the church. Nothing heavy. I mean, he didn't speak, you know, great insight to me, but he gave me exactly, and a, just low-key, real short, brief, just some things to encourage them, and they went away blessed. You know, we're told to be instant in season. So God's on the move, and the time is at hand. I, you know, again, we may not see him come in our lifetime, but I would venture to say that that's a good likelihood. I'll just throw that out there. So we need to be like the five wise virgins, with all of our ducks in a row, ready to go, watching for his appearing. Amen? That's the key, is to be watching for his appearing. And not giving any provision to anything other than God and his plan. Amen? Amen. Richard prays often, and I agree. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen? And that's from now until he comes again. The less of us, the more we're able to hear from him, the more we're able to do for him. And amen. Blessed people, right? To do minister where God wants us to minister. And these are not isolated incidences. I think we're going to see more and more. You've heard me talk about this over the last few weeks. We're going to see more and more God wanting to use his people. Because I think we're so close. We're so close. And I'll just leave it at that. No predictions. Just be ready. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And the final verse, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Anyway, because it's Memorial Day, I want to look not only, we all know, and this is what we acknowledge, and rightfully so, those who have gone on and defended this country, stood up for righteousness, and stood up for good against evil. I remember years ago I received a card. I don't remember if I didn't get it from the officer, but I got it from somebody because I collect police cards, or used to, police business cards. It was from a New Mexico State policeman. And on the back of his card, it said, a minister of righteousness for good against evil. And believe it or not, God has ordained government. But again, we know that his government is the only true government. Anything outside of that is false government. And while we, because we are his people, give honor, because that's the order that we're supposed to, you know, that's the order he's set in motion. We also have to understand, though, that not all things we can honor, because there's some immoral things going on, things that are against him. But I want to read to you starting in verse 1 of chapter 13. And let's keep in mind that we're talking about, and remember, we're talking specifically about, and the focus should be on God's government, God's authority, those he's placed in authority. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Now, before we go any further, that doesn't mean that those people who are in offices, again, are following God. So what we need to remember is that we need to follow the authority that's following God in the church and out in the world, in the society that we live in. We're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? There is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Now, what we're talking about here is not those who are in office necessarily, but the concept of those who are in office. Are you with me? Okay. Let me tell you, since I started the Belmar Center in February, I have never seen a city that had more Christian police officers in my life. I've talked to some of these guys, and while their walk may not be totally what it needs to be, they profess their faith. And you can tell that they're deep-seated faith. And there's some guys who, I mean, hook, line, and sinker sold. And they're walking it. I'm not making excuses for these guys that are, you know, kind of letting themselves get carried away. and maybe letting their mouth be a little loose. But what I am saying, though, is we need to pray for these guys. You know, in this day and age, that job is a thankless job. And a lot of these guys have given their lives to protect and to serve us, just like our military. So what I'm trying to, I guess what you've already figured out is I'm trying to say that they deserve as much honor as we give the military, because they're doing a job that's almost identical. The only difference is it's not foreign, it's domestic. Amen? Some of these guys, there's one guy, he's a detective. He's what they call an SRO, which is a school resource officer. Really loves God. Recently, I had a chance to pray with a gentleman who's a partner with another guy, and this partnership was ordained by God because one has really encouraged and lifted up and built the faith of the other. And I recently had a chance to talk to him when his father just passed away, or mother just passed away, I think it was. And so he had to go back to Florida. And God impressed me to pray for him, but we've talked. And one night we just stood at the behind the customer service desk and just talked about God's goodness and things, and he was greatly encouraged. You know, he's doing a job that's a great guy, and he's doing a job that really is thankless. You know, in this day and age, because of the corruption of government and the corruption of people that are in the government, things are topsy-turvy and backwards and upside down. How many know that? I maintain that the criminal justice system means just that, justice for the criminal. I mean, you all know that. You all got to do is look and see. As a citizens, we have less and less rights, it seems, outside. They pass more and more laws. And people don't like to hear it when you say, yeah, but the only reason we've got lawmakers passing laws is because if they don't pass laws, they're not going to make any money. Well, I'm just being honest. You know, it's estimated right now you can't walk out of your house. And I can't substantiate these statistics. Just take them for what they're worth. And if you have read them someplace and know that it's true, then praise the Lord. And if not, don't worry about it. But I'm just going to throw it out. It's estimated right now, according to what I've heard, that you can't walk out of your home without violating 200 laws. There are laws on the books still in this state, one of which says you can't drive an automobile without somebody within so many feet in front of you with a lantern hollering, here comes an automobile. It's still on the books, folks. And yet we're passing more laws every year. Now, the argument is that, you know, we have to pass laws because it's the natural progression. Well, I go back to the day when they finally passed a law saying protecting the rights of those people who don't smoke. And I'm just using that for an example. And this is nothing against those who smoke, but I don't know about y'all, but it used to frustrate me when I'd hear these people saying, well, I have a right to smoke. I have my rights. But if you're listening to what they're saying, it's not that they have rights, but they're not acknowledging the rights of anybody else. What about my rights not to be involved in that and have to be around that? You see what I'm saying? And so we have to do earthly things to take care of spiritual problems, selfishness, self-centeredness. Amen? Because of the way things are going today, the police do a thankless job. There is no respect for police anymore. And I'm not saying that all of them deserve respect, but the point is they are an authority. And as Christians, we do everything we do wholly as unto the Lord, correct? Praise the Lord. And having been involved in that type of work for so many years, as an officer, as security, as public safety, whatever it is, and many people here, or at least four of us this morning are still involved in it, you know, we face this all the time. And when the script we just read about making no provision for the flesh, I deal with kids and I deal with families all the time that have no concept of right and wrong. They don't have any concept of family. And so we need these people to at least continue to cause some semblance of order in the natural for those who are ungodly. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I guess what I'm saying is, in a nutshell, we need to pray for them. But I want to go in and finish reading here. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Now, isn't that interesting? I found that really interesting when I read that again this morning. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance. How many know that law enforcement deals with ordinances, laws, things like that? The ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, let's remember to temper this with what we're talking about here. Let's stay focused. We're talking about walking as God requires us to walk, giving honor to whom honor is due, but also knowing that as long as they honor Him. Amen? I remember one time I had a pastor say to me, well, you need to call me pastor. Because of the background I came out of, I said, well, I will honor you as long as you honor God. I will follow you as long as you follow God. And he knows that I meant what I said, because there were two times that I walked out of his church and wouldn't go back because he got off on the deep end. And then God said, go back, so I went back. Okay? Listen to God. Obey Him. He'll tell you. He'll tell you when to turn to the right or when to turn to the left. Amen? Righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Same thing with the authority we're talking about. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Are you with me? Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now listen carefully. In verse 4, it's the key. It's what we've been talking about. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. Did you get that? Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. How many know? Well, we all know. I'm not going to ask that dumb question. We all know that there's consequences for everything we do. Consequences are either good or bad. It's based on what we do and the motivation behind what we do. Amen? So, these guys, again, unless you have ever ridden with a police officer in their daily routine and seen what they do, they put their lives on the line, and we take it for granted. We sit in our homes safe. It's the same thing as the guys in the military. You know, I just saw recently some protesters in California who were protesting war. And yet, just to show you how double-minded people without God are, they go out and they're having this demonstration, and all of a sudden you catch on the camera one of the demonstrators cold cock a police officer. And then the crowd jumps in and says, he instigated, he started, he hit the guy. No, it was on camera. I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes we don't even consider what goes on. We just take it for granted. I've already said that. In the military, and we've lost sight in this country of what it took to maintain our freedom. And we also have lost sight, with all the nonsense that's out there, of the fact that God Himself has ordained war to take care of evil. Amen? And there is a war going on in our cities. Bob was telling me this morning of an incident that happened to him. We've had many break-ins and many cars stolen out of our parking lot because of the fact that this is a prevalent thing. And, of course, where I work, we deal with gangs and wannabe gang members all the time, taggers and things like that. We had a young man last night that had been trespassed from the property because he had been tagging on one of the establishments there. And he knew he wasn't supposed to come back, but he did, and he tried to give us a song and dance about, there was some error in the paperwork, and I happened, you know, the officer that wrote the citation and everything, he's a Christian. And he's known for his attention to detail. Well, I also know that this young man is a liar. It's been proven. And that he's a troublemaker. And he has a propensity to do that. He just does. So finally, after they caught him running around where he didn't belong again in our garage, a couple of my watch commander and one of the other officers, next thing I know, he walks up brazenly right in front of the theater, and I grabbed a hold of him, and I said, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You were trespassed. And they tried to tell me, well, we just talked to the other officers. So I get on the radio and I call and I say, hey, okay, you know, what's the deal here? So as soon as they said, hey, he's clear, it's good to go, but we're going to check on it. So they came to the theater and talked to what we have. We have two what we call ODOs or ODAs, which is off-duty agent or officer. Since Lakeway are agents, it's ODA, but we call them ODOs. Anyway, and they went out and started to talk to this young man. And basically before it was over with, because they saw they were getting nowhere, and of course I'm standing in the background taking care of my business, and the lieutenant and this other officer who originally contacted these guys are out there. They basically told him, look, these guys don't want you here, so just go on home. You know, don't come back here. And the point is, it's not that we don't want the people there, but if you come there for a reason, let me backtrack. The people who come there to enjoy the atmosphere, to enjoy the food, enjoy the theater, and enjoy shopping there. That's what it's there for. It's not for young kids or thugs or you know, thieves to be around there. That's why we're there. That's why we have the law enforcement officers or the police officers on Fridays and Saturday nights. It's to detour this so you can have a pleasant experience. Now, how many know that evil is always very readily prevalent, where no matter where you go? But you see, this is where also you have the ability to be salt and light in this earth. So remember also that you also are ministers for good against evil. His ministers. Are you with me? So this really encompasses everybody, but the focus primarily is on those who do the job that keep us safe from those who will not walk away from evil. Amen? And in so doing that job, there's a lot of times, I remember years ago there was an article, and I don't remember or what magazine it was, I don't know if it was National Geographic or what it was, but it talked about the police officers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And how many know that's the Bible Belt, part of the Bible Belt? And when they went in, I mean, they were given testimonies in this magazine of going in and seeing marriages healed, you know. I mean, they swear an oath to follow the law, okay? Well, when a person knows God, they know the moral difference between just enforcing a law because it's the law, or worshiping at the altar of the law, if you will allow me that, to say that, and doing what is right, morally right. And so in this day and age, when you have domestic violence or things like that, somebody's required to be arrested, and that's just about all 50 states. In fact, I think it is all 50 states now, you know, that somebody's required to be arrested. The aggressor is required. But in that, if you go in with God on your side and with God in focus and God in your heart, because you belong to Him and you've made that decision, you can go in and you can minister life to a situation that would cause normally separation and divorce or something even worse. Okay? How many would rather be on that side than the other side? Amen? We have that ability. We may not be police officers, security officers, or military personnel here, but technically we are when it comes to God's Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can equate yourself with a person who's sober and vigilant, watching and knowing that our adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we have the ability to thwart that because we have authority, do we not? Amen? Luke 10:19 says, behold, or look and see, I have given you authority. And that word authority means power. Over all, or I've given you power or authority over all the power or explosive dynamic. It's the word dunamis in the Greek, which means explosive, dynamic, or where we get our word dynamite from, power of the enemy. How many know that Jesus took the keys of death, hell, and the grave? How many know that He restored dominion to us when He did that, when He rose from the grave? It was given to Adam and Eve, and because they gave it away, because Adam sinned, it was given away, and Jesus came back and brought it all back. So we now have that authority. Amen. And how many times have we heard Pastor Stan say, you know, we need to be able to rule, and we not to be able to, we need to rule and reign. We have the ability. We need to just walk in it, rule and reign in this earth. Amen? And sometimes that means exposing darkness wherever it's at. Amen? So in that respect, we're just like these guys. How many know that all the things that go against the Ten Commandments, stealing and murder and all that stuff, that's darkness. right? So we need to walk in that even as citizens and be able to expose that and be able to minister to that darkness and bring light into that situation. Amen? So this morning I want to just leave you with the fact that we not only need to be praying, we need to pray for government. Do you understand that we can get disgruntled with the government? We can say, oh, they're doing wrong things, and we can have people in office that we don't particularly care for. But the point is, our responsibility, because we have power and authority, is to pray for them and be the salt and light we're required to be. Amen?
Amen.
Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So this morning, and this for the rest of this, you know, through the holiday tomorrow, let's keep that in mind. You know? The scripture talks about a word fitly spoken in season, which means the right word at the right time. Next time you get a chance, listen to the Spirit and see if He'd have you walk up to that policeman you're passing and say, you know, I really appreciate what you do. Who knows what door that might open? You know, I'm praying for you. Do you know how many people in this day and age, we've heard testimonies right here, Deborah's talked about it, others have talked about it, how many people in this day and age, you ask them? Just recently, my son came back from a situation. He was up with his mom. His mom had an operation, or what was supposed to be a day surgery, you know, an outpatient surgery. And it ended up being, instead of an hour, 4 hours. And, of course, he was upset. And right away, the Holy Spirit rose up inside me and prayed for him. So I prayed for him that peace would come back, that he'd have wisdom and insight, and that he'd, you know, get back on a level where he's, you know, he wasn't out of control, but the point is he was upset. And that's never a good feeling, right? And so just prayed for him. You know what? Most people won't turn down prayer. That's a fact. That's a fact. Most people won't. Can I pray for you? Richard has given many testimonies about being on buses and things. Can I pray for you? Well, yeah, you know. And you don't understand what you're doing when you do that. You're touching lives. You're being that minister of good for good against evil. Minister of righteousness for good against evil. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's don't be weary in doing good, okay? Let's keep our focus and let's remember to pray. Because our prayers, how many know? You know, we've kind of gotten away from the old saying, prayer changes things. That was coined back, I don't know how many years ago, but that's the truth. We know it. We've seen it in this place. We've seen miracles happen. Supernatural events happen because we prayed. And we've been learning also, remembering, you know, that if we pray and don't doubt, we speak to the mountain, whatever it is, say, be removed. Do you know that right now, starting right here, we could have the ability to turn everything that's going on in our government right now, and the fact that we've got what I'll call the opposing side, opposing what's right and wrong, it seems to be taking control. But that doesn't change the fact that God's in control. And how many know a lot of times it's because we allow things happen? Amen? So we need to take our rightful place. And starting today, we need to not only be praying for those people, but we need to understand we're ministers of righteousness for good against evil also. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did that help anybody? Praise the Lord. God's good. God's good. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your provision and your plan, for your will, Lord, for revealing truth to us. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, right now, we pray. We lift up our voices and our hearts and we pray for those young people who are over in Iraq. Lord, we have not lost focus and sight of the fact that they went over there as ministers of righteousness for good against evil. And if that war over there is a spiritual war, it's not just a physical war, but it's a war in the spirit that's manifested in the physical, Lord. An opposing God, a false God, who's coming against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You, God, our God, the only true God. We pray for those people, Lord. We pray that those who are giving their lives, Lord, would know you before they pass on, Lord. Lord, we pray for your protection over them. We pray for your wisdom. And we pray for our leaders as they debate what to do and how to get out of this. But Lord, I say, only as you will, Lord. Your will be done in all of this. And that we'll not pull out 1 minute before it's time, but Lord, that we won't stay 1 minute longer than it's your will. We pray for the families, Lord, who've lost loved ones over there and in all the wars, Lord. We remember Pearl Harbor, Lord, and those who gave their lives in Pearl Harbor and in the Second World War and the First World War. Those who believed in the freedom, Lord, that you ordained and stepped up and said, I'll go because I believe in the freedom. And if it be so, I'll give my life to maintain what God has ordained. We pray for them, Lord. We pray for peace, for comfort, for closure, Lord. We pray in all that more than anything, Lord, that they draw close to you, that they look to you and acknowledge you as the author and finisher of their faith. We pray for their salvation, those who don't know. And we thank you, Lord, that you're keeping your hand. We ask that you keep your hand on them. But Lord, also, we just went through Law Enforcement Memorial Week. And we pray for those families of officers who have given their life doing what they believe is right. Not just a job, Lord, but a calling. Help us who are not involved in that to understand that it is a calling. It's not just a job, it's a calling. And were it not for them and the sacrifice and commitment they made, Lord, that we would have so many problems here. We thank you for instituting those positions, Lord. So again, we pray for those officers who are out there right now, Lord. We pray for them, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them insight. Give them discernment, Lord. Keep your hand on them, Lord, so that they can continue to do the job. And for those families who have been touched by the ultimate sacrifice, for the fathers and wives, husbands that have given their lives in service to our communities, Lord, we pray that you bless them and touch them. Reveal yourself to them, those who don't know you, Lord. Draw them close to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, reveal God, God's character, and God's desire to them. That they have one as they turn to you, Lord, who paid the ultimate price so that they could have peace and comfort. So that in time of need, in time of confusion, they could turn to you. And receive comfort and clarity. Lord, I pray for those of us sitting here and who are your body, Lord, that we'd understand our responsibilities, that we also are ministers of good, or ministers of righteousness for good against evil. Give us a new fervor, Lord, a new insight. Touch our hearts, so that we don't just walk through taking for granted the sacrifices that people have made, so that we could enjoy what we have. We're not perfect, but we know the one who is perfect. That's you, Lord. So we thank you for this weekend. And let in all our acknowledging of these people who have given their lives, let us also acknowledge, Lord, that you gave your life for us, so that we could walk in freedom and health and prosperity. in abundance, Lord. Prosperity of soul and spirit as much as prosperity in all other ways, Lord. We magnify you today. We give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I bless your people. I bless these people here. I ask you, Lord, let your face shine on them. And right now, I thank you, Lord. I speak to every need, whatever it is. And I send the word right now to every person within the sound of my voice. Whatever your need is today, be whole. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive your provision today according to the plan and will of God. For all this, we thank and praise you, Lord. Bless these as they go their ways today. Bless them this week, Lord. And let your word be sealed in our hearts, Lord, came forth today. But man's will and man's word fall to the ground. And let us be consumed by you and by zeal for you and your fire, Lord. For those that the spark is diminishing, Lord, build that fire again, that zeal. In Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you for all that's been accomplished here today. According to your will and plan, not ours. And all who agree, say amen.